In the name of Jesus, amen. I want you to think with me for a few minutes about thinking. Taped to my office door is a little slip of paper with these letters printed on it. VLMSG. Now, some of you know that this is a little phrase that has become a kind of motto for me. It stands for a vigorous life of the mind in service to the gospel. I've thought a bit about a vigorous life of the mind in service to the gospel, what that might look like, how that might shape the life I live, the work I do, how that might, in fact, inform our life together here if we could think better, think more clearly, think more vigorously. I'm not an expert, but I'm curious about it. Not long ago, I got around to reading a wonderful book that's been in my stack for a while by a man named Daniel Kahneman. It's called Thinking Fast and Slow. Kahneman is a psychologist, and he's also won a Nobel Prize in economics, so he probably knows something. This book is about how we humans think, how we reach decisions, and how we make judgments, and how we evaluate and interpret the world around us. The book is full of insights that are drawn from really ingenious experiments that psychologists have done, Kahneman and others. There are aha moments on practically every page, which I won't go into all of them. But one of the main insights of this book is that humans, and that includes almost all of us, really have two quite different and distinct ways of thinking. One of them fast and automatic, and one of them slower and requiring effort. So you see where the title comes from? Thinking, fast and slow. What Kahneman calls System One thinking operates automatically and very, very quickly, so quickly that you may not even realize that you're thinking at all. Your System One thinking enables you to recognize your wife's face, to size up facial expressions as she walks in the door, and to make a very accurate assessment of her emotional state as soon as she speaks. You can even predict with a degree of accuracy what she may say or do next. None of this requires any deliberate effort on your part, and you reach these conclusions and make these predictions without really intending to. That's System One thinking, fast thinking. System Two kicks in when you're confronted with a more complex task, like maybe a slightly difficult math problem, like 17 times 24. We can do it, but most of us will have to stop what we're doing and concentrate a little bit in order to do this math problem. We need System Two thinking when we fill out our tax forms, or when we are looking for a particular person in a crowd, or when we're parsing Greek verbs, or we're trying to assess the validity of a complex argument. While System One thinking runs automatically and effortlessly, System Two does require effort, and it's difficult. Maybe it's even impossible to do when we get distracted. What happens much of the time, probably most of the time, is that our System One thinking will suggest an answer to a question or an interpretation of a situation, and then our System Two thinking will accept the suggestion without really bothering to consider it very closely. As we live day in and day out, both systems run constantly. Sounds exhausting, doesn't it? But that's how our brains work. And most of the time, we believe our impressions and we act on our instincts, and most of the time that works out fine, except when it doesn't. Because what happens sometimes is we encounter situations or problems when our automatic system one misses something that matters, or it misinterprets a situation, or it's tricked by biases that we are unconscious of. And in cases like that, our system one will get us into real trouble unless our system two stops and reconsiders and checks for errors and corrects for biases. Well, that is all vastly interesting, I hear you thinking, but what in the world does that have to do with what God is saying to us today? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, today the Word of God prompts us to think about thinking. Have this mind in yourself, among yourselves, which is also yours in Christ Jesus. Paul says, in other words, think this way. This is the right way for you followers of Jesus to think, because this is the way Jesus himself thinks. This is the mind of Christ, and it's your mind now too, because you were baptized into Christ and confess him to be the Lord. Our problem, well, one of our problems, is that our thinking isn't right. Not only is our system one half blind and a veritable minefield of unexamined biases, but our system two needs to be retrained, re-educated. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, as Paul says in Romans 12. The mind that is in Christ Jesus is patterned on Jesus himself. The logic, the rationality of the gospel is not a mere theory or concept. It is the actual substance of the loving, self-giving work of Christ for us. The contrast between that and ordinary human thinking could not be more stark. Ambition and self-regard have been made into cardinal virtues in the world today, and yet Christ lets go of his divine power and empties himself. Our system one instinct is always to pursue selfish interest and let others fend for themselves. And our system, too, is good at providing rationalizations to justify exactly that. But Christ didn't just tell us to change our thinking. He embodies and enacts the incomprehensible love of the Father by making himself our servant and doing everything, even dying on a cross, so that you and I may live. You want to know what it means when Paul says, just before our text, in humility, count others as more important than yourselves. Well, watch Jesus go to the cross and die for you. That's what it means. That's the life of the mind in Christ, lived vigorously for us. And that is why God the Father raised him and put him in the highest place and gave him the best name of all. There is no other Lord. There is no other name to which we and everybody else, like it or not, will bow and submit and confess. We know that. We love that. We live from that and live for that. And that is why we keep coming back again and again to this staggering story. God, the God who became flesh and lived with us, the master of all who made himself a slave, the one who holds you in the palm of his hand even as he poured himself out to the last drop for you. Daniel Kahneman discovered that our subjective identity, the self I think of when I think of myself, is not so much tied to what we actually experience as it is a product of the story we remember as our life. And my friends, this story of Jesus is the new story of your life, your new identity. We come back to his passion, not just this time of year, but day by day and week by week, not because it's entertaining or aesthetically pleasing, not because it's our favorite movie and we could watch it 1,000 times, but because it is the paradigm we need to parse our lives correctly. We practice thinking this way to train our minds and our affections and our attitudes and our assumptions, whether fast or slow, whether vigorous or lethargic. Our life of the mind in Christ anchors in Jesus himself, in him who is our curriculum. We follow Jesus to the cross and beyond because we need to get our minds right in Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.